blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. Listen, child of God, and listen. Even if today God seems far away from you, can I tell you that God is actually closer to you even than the air you breathe? Can I tell you that when God sees you, He sees His creation? When God sees you, He sees what He said. In the beginning, God saw everything that He had made, and it was very good. That is what God sees when He sees you. You might have fallen, you might have missed it, but that is not who you are. Who you are is what God says you are. And you can become all God wants you to be. You are His creation, the works of His hands, and He made you very, very good. Whatever is in your life, is in my life today, that is not in line with the word that God has spoken, we ask right now in the name of Jesus, anything that is bad, Lord, let it become very good. Any defective part of my body, physically, emotionally, anything that is not reflecting the word of God, we ask right now in the name of Jesus in our lives, let them become very good, very good, in the name of Jesus, because God said it and God is still saying it. And today we pray, we ask, Father, let your will be done in our lives. Let your word come true. Let your word transform us. Transform our hearts right now. Let our hearts become a good ground. Let our hearts be receptive to your word. Let everything you have not planted in our hearts be uprooted. Let every high thing, let every stronghold be cast, pulled down in the name of Jesus. Let every contrary thought be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We receive your engrafted word like a seed. Let them fall in the good heart which you have given us right now and given every one of us. And let your word take firm root and germinate and bring forth fruit, that our lives will begin to glorify you. And it's all for your glory. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you for making us, creating us, forming us, and you keep recreating and forming us into your image and likeness. It's all for your glory. In the name of Jesus. Please open your eyes. Formed in love, by love, to love, and to be loved. It reminds me of a movie series we used to watch as children. I don't know if it's still popular, but there was this funny detective. He called himself 007. He's licensed to, don't say what he's licensed to do, but we're going to change it today. I am licensed to love and to be loved. Come on. I'm not 007. I'm double O Jesus. License to love and to be loved. I don't know if we okay, your class will still hold. So that is the children from 3 years old to 6 years old. Please, if we have children 3 years old to 6 years, please, they can go to their class. But the older children from seven and above should please remain in the congregation. Now, the reason is we started a series. Okay, I'll just wait for those of us taking our children. So 3 to 6, please, let's celebrate them. Let's celebrate the children. Let's encourage them. They can go to the class. There have been discussions, and we don't want a situation where we get caught up in what is actually out there, which is one of the statistics we gave us 2 weeks ago. People are struggling with their identity. There's an identity crisis. There's a crisis of identity. People don't really know who they are. That is scientifically proven. Don't worry, I know who I am. I am not my grammar. Okay? That's funny. All right, Exodus chapter 17. Today we will be rounding up the teaching series on who am I? My true and real identity. Very important that we all know who we are. We know our true and real identity, and we do not allow circumstances, situations, what we have or what we don't have to define who we are to us. Like we have been learning, we know who we are not. Let's start by knowing who we are not. We are not where we were born. Where we were born is not our identity. Where we presently are is not who we are. What we have or not have is not who we are. You are not what people around you think you are. So who am I? You are what you think you are. But that also may not be who you really think you are. So who am I? Don't be confused. All right, let's go to Exodus chapter 17. There's a story there. We run a commentary, but we're just going to read verses 15 and 16, and then we can see prior to these verses what happened. Exodus 17 from verse 15. If we can bring that on the screen, you can look at it on the screen, or you can bring your iPad, notepad, iPencil, and everything out. Everything nice, iPhone, iPad, and the men in the house who love their children and love their wives, when the children are asking for iPad, iPhone, i8, do you know what the man in the house is thinking? iPad. All right, let's have fun today. Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." In the King James Version, "The Lord is my banner" in Hebrew means Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. Now, we need to understand what led to Moses building this altar, and not just building the altar, but declaring. He called the altar, he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, "The Lord is my banner." Please hold this at the back of your mind. Who built the altar? Moses built the altar. When you are going to build something, you are intentional and you are deliberate when it comes to building. He intentionally built an altar, and then he called it, "The Lord is my banner." Now, when we look at this, we don't read the prior scriptures that God told Moses to build this banner. We don't find in the scriptures, in that Exodus chapter 17, where it says that God, after Moses built this banner, God told him, call it Jehovah Nissi. Call this altar Jehovah Nissi, meaning the Lord is my banner. This was something Moses intentionally and deliberately did. But when did he do it? What was the context? If you read the previous scriptures, there was war. Moses was the leader of the Jewish nation, of the Israelites, and they were simply going into the promised land that God promised them. They were on that journey, and unprovoked attack happened. They were passing through, and there was a nation, a people called the Amalekites. They are from the people from Amalek. You know, just like you have Scousite. Just joking, okay? I said Scousite. I didn't say Scousers. Okay, so there. Amalekites, okay. So, unprovoked attack. They did nothing. They were just minding their business and going where they ought to go. And Amalek attacks them. Now, the attack now took a dimension. Moses, the leader, had to go up a mountain. And every time he had a rod in his hand, anytime he lifted that rod, the battle with the Amalekites, between the Israelites and the Amalekites, the Israelites will be winning the battle anytime his hand was up. But anytime his hands went down, they will start losing the battle. Yeah. So there were two assistants of Moses who observed what was going on. Every time Moses' hand was up, the battle was won. Every time his hand was down, they start losing. So they figured it out. You know what? Let's find a way of keeping his hands up and steady. And let's see what will happen. So they figured out, they kept his hand up and steady. I'm just summarizing the story. Please go and read it. You will learn more if you read it, you know, for yourself. And they kept his hand steady. And every time they kept his hand, for as long as his hand was steady, they won that battle against the Amalekites. So it was after the victory, the Bible says Moses now built this altar. And then he called it Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. Now, if you really want to understand the relationship between this story and what we've been looking at, what Moses was simply saying here is that God is my identity. Now, when we look at physical banners or flags, right, what do we really do with flags? And what do flags stand for? A flag of a country simply depicts the identity of that country. And a flag or a banner is not meant to be hidden. It's meant to be lifted high. And every time you lift up that banner, you are identifying that this is my country. This is my nation. I think football clubs also have their flags, don't they? Is that right? Yeah. So when you raise the Liverpool flag up, what are you trying to say? Liverpool is my identity. I think I saw a sticker somewhere that says something about Everton is in my soul, is in my blood, or something like that. I'm sorry for you if it's in your blood. You need the blood of Jesus to clean that. Don't let's go into football, okay? Before we start some war in the house. Blues versus the Reds. But the whole idea is you are identifying with the banner you raise. So Moses was saying here, I have discovered my identity. Because Every time I raise this rod up, God fought for us. Because that rod he was raising up is called the rod of God. It was the rod of Moses. Because Moses was a shepherd. And he used that rod, the shepherd's rod, to, you know, to direct sheep and, you know, do whatever he had to do with the shepherd's rod. But when he encountered God, God told him to throw that rod down. And that rod took on a supernatural identity of God. With that rod, Moses went, he stretched the rod into the sky and miracles were happening. He stretched the rod to the Red Sea, the Red Sea parted. It became, from the rod of Moses, it became the rod of God. So during that battle, every time he raised that rod of God up, he won the battle. Every time the rod went down. So in other words, if I identify, if I show my real identity here, I win. And what's my identity? Jehovah, God. Jehovah is one of the nature characteristics. It's not just a name by which God is identified. It's something that describes God's nature, God's ability, and God's character. Jehovah is a name that God had to tell. I'm trying to remember who exactly God told. I think it's Moses. He revealed himself to Moses that my name is Jehovah. My nature, my character, my ability is Jehovah. So for every time he identified with Jehovah, he won the battles of life. Jehovah is my banner. Now, from this study, we started seeing, you know, showed us scientific facts, things going on around us in the world. And I think last week, we got up to the point where we started answering the question, so who am I? The question, who am I, is simply trying to discover your own identity. What do you identify with? If your banner is Arsenal, I've got news for you. They lost to Liverpool yesterday. If your identity is Everton, I've got news for you. They lost to Aston Villa on Friday. Somebody is saying, Pastor, you should be fasting and praying, not watching football. No, I don't watch football. I listen to the news. By the way, I don't support any team. Okay, I support my team. I created a team, you know. I called it Love United FC. Yeah, that's my banner. My identity is love, and God is love. Okay, so who am I? What's my identity? We started answering last week. Number one, you are a creation. God's creation. Originally, God created you and I. Please, listen to this. It is not how you were born, where you were born, the circumstances of your birth, the situation in which you were born into, that matters. It is why you were born. Your purpose in life. Every single individual born into this world is born on purpose, by purpose. It doesn't matter how. Listen, it is human beings who try to define you by the fact that maybe you never knew your father. Listen, I hope somebody heard that. It is human beings who try to define you by the circumstances of your mother when you were born. So they give you identities like, you know, I'm a child of a single mother. That is not your identity. Oh, you know, I was talking with a student one time, and the student, you know, I was just trying to guide him with his choice of, you know, courses and, you know, to choose. And I wanted to really know if he was on track. And the, you know, what came out, and he said it, and I could feel his pain. All he said was, you know, I grew up without a father. I don't have a father in my life. And I could sense that he's been defined and carrying that kind of banner all his life. He's now in his teenage, late teenagers now, carrying an identity. And what's the identity? I don't have a father. Okay, I've got news for you. You have a heavenly father. He's your creator. Originally, you are God's creation. The challenge we have is that life, circumstances, events, people have recreated us into their own image and given us a false identity. Given us an identity that is not ours. Some of us have been given identities, not in here, okay? Maybe somebody listening. They've given you an identity that you're a fraud because you come from a certain country. I was looking at someone's display, what do they call it now, on your phone, when you DP, display picture, is that what it's called, DP, okay? Please, you are not your DP, let me just tell you that. But I was looking at somebody's DP, the display on their picture, and it was trying to deny something that, this is not who I am, even though this is the country I come from, but this is not who I am. Fighting an identity that people were trying to pin on them. Please, don't allow people to recreate you. Who am I? You are an original, not an imitation. You are not a copy of somebody else. So the task before us today is, if we realize that we have been recreated into some other image and given a different identity, can we allow God to recreate us today? And how does God create? You only need to go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1 is the story of creation. How did God create? The Bible tells us that God simply created by speaking. He spoke. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let the dry land appear, let the waters pack in one space and to another space. Let there be a firmament, a space between the waters. And the Bible said, God will speak and God will name. God was recreating and giving everything in Genesis 1 an identity. And do you know what happened? When he created you and I, our 4-4-4-4-4-4-4, grand 4, hyper 4 parents, he looked at them and said, this is my image. This is my likeness. And the Bible said God saw everything and said it was very good. That is your identity. That is who you are. Oh, but I'm not looking very good. Excuse me. At times, we can look inside the mirror. For example, I'm looking in the mirror now, and usually, you know, because now we're on Facebook and all that stuff, so I notice that when I turn, I'm noticing a patch somewhere around here. It's not looking very good. I don't want to say it. What's happened to my hair? But that is not who I am. Do you know that what we see staring at us on the mirror at times gives some of us our identity? That's not who you are. Bald or no bald, patch or no patch, I know who I am. I am a child of God. I am God's creation. I am an original. No matter how even bald you can be, your baldness is still original. Forget it. There's no one as bald as you. How about that? So, from last week, One of the things that will help us know what we have become, so that we can start becoming what God wants us to become, is you are becoming what you think. You are becoming what you are hearing. You are becoming what you are learning. You are becoming what you are choosing. So sit back and check your life. What are the things I constantly think on? Because what you constantly think upon is what you are becoming. If you are constantly thinking, you know what, my life is a mess, failure, I wrote this exam 5 times, I did this, I did that. Excuse me, all those things are events. They don't define who you are. I'm a teacher, profession. That's not my identity, but that's my profession. And I have students coming every time, crying and all that. You know, results just came out 2 weeks ago, in the last 2 weeks, the GCSEs, the A-levels and all that. You know, and of course, people are heartbroken, people are sad, people are depressed. And I try to let them know, excuse me, the fact that you failed does not make you a failure. The failing is just an event that happened. That is not you. You can pick up yourself. Someone was telling me, oh no, now I'm trying to calculate. Now I have, where I am right now, my original classmates are now 2 years ahead of me. 2 years ahead of me. I must be a failure. Excuse me, you are an original. You are one of a kind. Your classmates are originals in their own right. One of a kind. Do we know that the comparison is a sin? Comparison is a sin. When you start comparing yourself with somebody else, measuring yourself by another people, measuring your family by another family, measuring your husband or your wife, your spouses or your children by other people, the Bible says you are not wise. You say, but well, we live in the real world. Come on, wake up, smell the coffee. When we go to school, they give us positions, first, second, third. They give us first class, second, what's the other one? Second class upper, second class lower, third class lower, and no class. That is not who you are. Do you know that life has proven over and over that even the most successful in people in life, they were not successful because they had first class. They were successful because they changed their thinking. They made the best of life. Your thinking, your hearing, what you're hearing, your learning, and the choices you make is what you are becoming. So if I want to get my real identity, what should I do? It's a life of discovery. What it simply means is that if I am becoming, if what I'm becoming, right, is what I'm hearing, is what I'm thinking, is what I'm learning, and it's what I'm choosing, then you know what? I can recreate myself. Have you heard of people when they say they are doing a repackaging, rebranding? Do you know what one of the highest paid professions now? People are consulting and helping organizations rebrand. They're helping the organization to kind of recreate themselves and how they do things. And once they do some of these principles, you just find out that from, you know, bottom, they are simply rising and rising and rising because they recreated themselves. It is the same principle. God creates us into what he wants us to be by speaking to us. The Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you know, that was why Jesus warned. Be careful what you hear. Be careful how you hear. What you keep hearing is what you will be becoming. Excuse me. That's why I tell parents, watch the things you say to your children. And when you even come for service like this, please watch what people are even saying to you. Don't be distracted. This is not the time that somebody should be whispering into your ears. Because what they are saying to you, perhaps is what you are becoming. They are probably gossiping about somebody. Do you know what you are becoming? A gossip. Did you see what so-and-so put on? Oh, I didn't see. What did they put on? Check, check, check. Just look. That's what you are becoming. What we hear constantly, what we think, and what we think determines what the things we are learning and influences our choices. That's why when you eventually go and you choose to take something that does not belong to you, they give you a new, you take on a new identity. It's called what? Thief. Look at it this way. Common sense. You keep hearing the word of God and God is telling you, you are my child. You are forgiven. You are not condemned. I've accepted you. Don't believe that lie. I created you. I formed you in my image, in my likeness. Don't worry, whatever anyone did to you, don't be bitter. Because when you are bitter, it's going to defile you. You don't need that. When you get into strife, my word says that strife, where there's strife, there's confusion, every evil work, and you're hearing the word of God telling you, no, you don't, no, you choose not to be in strife. Because I don't want to end up in confusion. I don't want to open my life up to evil works. That's the word of God. You keep hearing things like that. It's called the perfect law of liberty. You are liberated and you are becoming what you are hearing, what God wants you to hear. You are thinking it. You are acting it. It starts influencing your choices. Let me tell you a practical thing I've been practicing. How many of us know what, of course, we all know, road rage? You're a driver. You're going and then somebody just probably wants to bump into you, but they didn't bump into you. And then you go out. I was watching one clip somebody sent. Bam, bam, you know, they didn't hit each other. Almost hit each other. And then the guy just stopped the car and jumped out of the car and was walking towards the person that almost hit them. The guy just opened the door and just gave him one slap and one uppercut to calm him down. No, to give him a new identity, patient in the hospital. But you hear the word of God that tells you self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So, control yourself is not everything you react to. Calm down. You get into strife. You get into a fight. You get battered. Or you batter somebody. So you know what I do? Because I don't want people to give me another identity. When they do things like that to me, or they're doing I don't want to hear. I just move on. Because if I hear, Steve, I'm going to react. Come on. Lexi. Is that your name? No, that's not your name. But you know, I can give you Lexi now. Everybody start calling you Lexi. I've given people names in this church and it's stuck on them. How many of us remember Baba Lester? Everybody calls him Baba Lester. I gave him an identity. He heard the name. He took the name. Everybody else heard it. They called him. One day he texted me. I said, who is this? He said, Baba Lester. Listen. You're walking. Please be walking. Okay. Let's demonstrate. Just, you are minding your business. Idiot. Goat. Animal. Monkey. Dog. See? Usually, please tell me what you would probably do. It's not me saying it, right? He's on the street.
Keep walking.
You keep walking?
Yeah.
Okay, he's heard the word of God. Let me tell us. You're going, monkey, dog, cat, chimp. Look at your face. You turn back. You're talking to me? We think we are trying to affirm something. But let me tell you what you're affirming. What's your name? If I call you Leke, you respond. Right? If I call you dog and you respond, you're telling me you're a dog. And let me tell you what you probably do. You probably want to bite me. You take on the identity of what you're hearing. You're a fool. You're an idiot. You're a goat. Me, goat. Take heed what you're hearing, what you're thinking, what you're learning, because you're going to start choosing to behave that way. So you know what I do? Goat, idiot, no, no, no. I just ignore, I keep walking, like you said. And I say, why are you not responding to him? Because he's not calling me. That's not my name. Oh, come on, Steve, they told us in school, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but names will never hurt me. But do you know that's a lie? Some of us, we've been called names since we're in primary school. It's still hurting us till today. The reason why it's still hurting you is because you have become that name, because you are still thinking about it. Fatty bum bum, fatty fatty. It's still affecting you till today. What somebody said to you, I'll never forget this experience I had. At this stage, all my mates had left me. My mates now were going to their final year in the university. I was still struggling to try and gain admission into the university. Hey, why are you looking at me like that? I'm not a failure. Some of you are looking at me like that. No, I'm not trying to be defensive. All right, so I went to this party. I didn't want to go because I knew my friends, my classmates were going to be there, and they were all in the university, and I was not in the university. You know that sense of, come on, name it, inferiority. And truly, but one of them was very nice to me, persuaded me, come on, let's go, you know, we catch up with old friends. It's just a party. Everybody's there. Come on, let's go. So I reluctantly went. And I got there and everybody was talking. And guess what they were talking about? Uni. Yeah, you know, uni, you know, that hall and all that. We were talking about all. I could not contribute to the conversation. So I stood quietly and I was listening. And the more I was listening, I was getting depressed. And then one of them just walked me. He called me by name. So where are you now? What uni are you now? As if he didn't know. He knew I wasn't in uni, but he picked on me. So which uni are you now? I said, well, you know, I'm still. Said, come on. Come on. You just want to rot in one place. You want to rot. You're just going to rot, man. You're going to rot. See. Come on. He just lambasted me, rubbished me. He added salt upon my injury and went on, and they were all talking about their uni. Nobody knew when I left that party. I sneaked out quietly. I was walking home I took a bus. I think it will take me about an hour to get to my house. I was walking home, took the bus. I wept. I cried until I got home. Because what he said to me kept ringing in my head. You want to rot. You're in one place, same place. All your mates, uni. They are talking about uni, talking about all the babes, talking about, sorry, I didn't say that. You know, I was a teenager then, okay. I was still in the world, okay. And I went home, I wept. I felt sad. And then another friend came and invited me to follow him to a fellowship to come and hear the word of God. And I remembered, I went for this fellowship. I remember hearing things that, you know, you can become a new creature. Receive Jesus. You'll be a new creature. In other words, Jesus will give you a new identity. I said, that's what I want. I don't want to be that rotten guy, the guy that just left the party. I was around 18 years old, and I remembered I had God and has Jesus into my life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What's the next? Is there a next verse after that? Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. You come into Christ, it gives you a new identity. I received Jesus into my life. And that day I knew something changed on the inside. I was still looking the way I was on the outside. To my friend, I was still that rotten guy who's still on the same spot. No problem. Then I began to hear the word of God, and I began to have what I would call faith. The Bible says when we hear the word of God, paraphrasing, it gives us faith. And I knew God could change my life and my situation. And I asked God to do the impossible, turn my life around, give me hope, and get me into the university too. I prayed. The little I knew, I exercised, because somebody did me that favor to tell me that I can actually have a new identity. All my mates have left me. Now, let me fast forward to you. Miraculously, God turned my life around. I got admission into the university. And thank God, by the time I got into the university, I had a new mindset. I wasn't going to the university to party, to look for all the girls and the babes they were talking about at the party. I wanted God to fix me, turn me into something. I faced my books, and I began to read the Bible at a point, and I began to hear what God could do in my life. I began to apply that in my academics. I passed, I graduated. 2 years after I graduated, I was walking in the streets of one city, and I was trying to stop what you would call an Uber taxi now. Yeah, it wasn't Uber then. Yeah, it was a private, but it's an illegal private taxi. Don't worry. I know where I was born, but that's not my identity. You can't judge me now. Here comes private illegal taxi. And I was going to enter. I said, where am I going? And I looked. Who was in the taxi? The friend at the party 6 years ago who told me I was rotting in one place and I was going nowhere, mocked me. I looked at him. He looked at me. He recognized me. And other people were there, so he had to just quickly be professional. We entered the taxi, and he dropped us. And later I found out, after that so-called party, they all went back to uni. He failed. Went to another place. He failed. He got kicked out of uni. By the time I met him 6 years after, he had no university qualification. Now, I'm not rubbing it in his face, but God taught me a lesson. He tried to give me an identity 6 years ago that I was rotten, I was nowhere, I was rubbish, I was not where my mates were. But I heard Jesus. He gave me a new identity, changed my thinking. I applied all this in my life. I made something at least something out of my life. Now, by the time he was picking me in his illegal taxi cab, I was working in a bank, graduate. He had nothing. But I didn't make the mistake now to start comparing myself to him and to feel that I'm superior to him. In fact, it made me more repentant that never in my life will I ever judge people and give them an identity based on their current circumstances. Excuse me, no matter where you are today, that is not the end. That's not your identity. Please clap if you want to clap. Clap for yourself. Celebrate what God can transform you to be. That's what we're talking about. If any man be in Christ, let me end with this because of our time. So who am I? If you are in Christ Jesus, listen like Moses. Today, start lifting up that banner that God is my identity. Jesus is my identity. Identify with Jesus. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. You have a new identity. Now, let me just run through. If you can get the slide. The moment you are in Christ Jesus, you are, number one, a new creation with a new identity. Please listen at this point now. Because the word you are hearing now is to recreate you. Can I tell somebody? I don't care what your parents called you. That's not your identity. And I don't care what you have been calling each other or calling yourself. That's not your identity. You are who and what God calls you. So what does God call you? He says you are a new creation with a new identity. You are no longer in condemnation. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Listen, God, if you are in Christ, God is now for you, not against you. What the enemy constantly bombards us with is, you have done this, you have done that, God can never forgive you. Excuse me? Please tell Mr. Devil or Mrs. Devil, or whoever the devil is using, that's not who I am. I am no longer in condemnation. God is for you, not against you. Listen, you are a winner. You are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. That's your new identity. Just some things. Who are you if you are now in Christ Jesus? That's why you must intentionally, deliberately, like Moses, can you change your banner from today and call your banner what it should be and start operating in that new identity? Who are you? You belong to and you are part of God's family. Ephesians 3 verse 14 to 19. Once you are in Christ Jesus, you are part of a new family. It's called God's family. A new identity. You are called by God's name. I have a friend, very funny guy, but the day he explained, he just suddenly changed his surname. And they said, what is his surname? He said, my surname is God. Just like, you know, Leke here. What's your name, Leke? Leke, whatever, whatever. I say, no, I'm not Leke. I'm Leke God. Because God is now my father. That's your father. That's your father. In case you are born just like the student I spoke about, without a father, please, you have a father. His name is God. Ready to accept you. Your body now becomes God's temple. The Spirit of God can dwell in you. You are a carrier of God. God wants to live in you. God lives. God dwells. God can talk. Your body is now that temple, that altar, likened to what Moses built in Exodus chapter 17. Call yourself by your new identity. My body is not for sin, it's for God. That's my identity. You are God's property. You are bought with a price. You are called by His name. Listen to this. You are not cheap. Do you know why you are not cheap? Because you are bought with the precious blood of Jesus. You are bought with a price. You are not cheap. You are not cheap. You are who God says you are. The task now, you have to keep discovering who you are. It's a lifetime of discovery. And how do you keep on discovering? By what you hear, by what you think, by what you're learning, and by what you're choosing. If you keep hearing what God is saying about you, you will start thinking differently. You will start learning differently. You will start making the right choices. The problem is, we carry ourselves to every other place, listening to every other thing except what God is saying. You know, I always try to think like the devil. If I know that if this person, if he hears what God says, he will be liberated, he will be free, he will be set free, he will be healed. I will make sure they don't go to a place where they are hearing what God is saying. Do you see why you don't come for fellowship? Come on, let's bow our heads and pray. Let's talk. Let's start from the base. God bless all our little children. God bless our adults. And God is saying the default mode for you and I is to become like little children. It's called being born again. A new creation. All you have to do, if any man be in Christ, it's not saying if any man be in church. You can come to church all you want and not be in Christ. Are you in Christ? It's a simple prayer. It's personal. You can invite and receive Jesus into your life today. Today, genuinely, and receive a new identity in Christ Jesus. I don't care what anybody has said to you currently. If you are in my shoes, that story I told, if I accepted what that guy said and I kept thinking about it, I would still be rotting today and still be on the same spot. Invite Jesus into your life. All you have to do, just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me all my sins. Wash me by your blood. Make me a new creature. Fill me, my Heavenly Father, with your love by your Spirit. Change me and transform me into what you want me to be. And say, from today, like Moses, I declare and I call myself a child of God. You are my identity from today. from this moment, my life begins to change. The things I hear will be deliberate. The things I think will be deliberately on what God says. My choices will be what God says. Lord Jesus, from today, I declare you are my banner. Thank you for saving me and giving me a new identity from today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.